Clones, welcome to the Daily Jungle. We have a special year in review edition. Now, this is not your average show, so this is not your average podcast. You're getting all 3 hours, and they are an incredible look back at the year 2017. So, just sit back, smash play, and enjoy. The year in review starts right now. You know it. The year in review. What's cracking? Welcome to the jungle. I'm Jim Rome, live in the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. It is the last day of the year in the jungle. Alvin, I'll take that decky, yeah. I need that thing badly. Let's get it. What are you all doing today for the year in review? How are you spending the day? Alvin, if it's not too much to ask, you can go ahead and hit that one more time. Did you take the day off? Are you grinding it out at work? Yeah. Is it your last day of the year? Yeah. Let's get this thing. Yeah. Hey, Rex, is it your last day?
Yeah.
No. 1-800-636-8686. The year in review. We got to find a way to slam 12 months of sports and the jungle into one single program, so I do not want to waste any time. Welcome to the year in review. We're going to recap the very best of the past year. We are loaded today. If history tells us anything at all, it's going to be near impossible to get through the entire year in one show. So I'm not going to waste any time with this. Generally, it is not a day to call in. But if you want to jump in with a final thought or two about 2017 or about what you heard on the show or you saw in sports, you can take a shot. I might mix in a phone call or two. 1-800-636-8686. I'll break the format for the right call. If you want to shoot me an email, do that. Rome, R-O-M-E at haveatake.com. And of course, you know to follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. What a great day this is. I am hyped. We had an awesome day yesterday. So we're going to end this year on a really strong note. Bring it. Bring it or do nothing at all and let me do all the work. Let's get started in January. Damn, I mean 2017, exactly where the hell did you go? The next 3 hours are going to answer that question. Like, you know how every great musical artist releases a greatest hits album? The year in review is our greatest hits from 2017. One entire year, over 240 shows, over 2,600 segments, over 650 guests, over 800 phone calls, and two different studios. All of that slammed into 1 year. Now, every year in the jungle, we're looking to crush it right from the jump. And I say every single year, and I will in a couple of weeks. Every single year, the first of anything will set the tone for the entire year. The first call, the first email, the first tweet of a show always sets the tone. So, of course, we had to get off to a good start, right? Well, or so I thought. With that, this is the email that set the tone for all of 2017. Romy, what's happening, partner?
What's happening, partner?
R.I.P. Cleveland Browns winless season. Thanks, 2016. Just when I thought that I couldn't take anything else, you go ahead and you do that. Regards, Jeff in Lincoln. So that was the first of many regrettable and forgettable emails from Jeff in Lincoln. But he can always say, first, congrats, Geoff. You got that going for you, which is nice. And it's not like we got off to a flying start on the phones either. LT got loose early and often. In fact, one call, one hammer job. Eric in Venice.
Hey, Jim. Thanks for the vine. Hey, I saw the fight with Ronda, and I think Ronda will be always the greatest of her time, not the greatest of all time. Like between Ohio State, Ronda Rousey, Mariah Carey, and Carrie Fisher, who would have had the better weekend, and it would be Carrie Fisher, then there'd be a problem there.
Y'all say there's a big problem there. You picked up the phone. Thanks for nothing, Eric in Venice. Rest in peace, Princess Leia. Hey, you want to talk about a tone setter? Based on your early entries, this was setting up as a pretty crappy year. The first email was trash. The first call was even worse. I needed somebody to pick us up. We needed a hero, and we found one.
The one thing I want you to do for me is get back. I know you want to win, so kick your ass. Kick your ass. They kick your ass. Now kick their ass. Don't ask me why. Why? Kick your ass. I know you want it all, so kick their ass. Kick their ass. They kicked your ass, now kick their ass. I'm telling you why.
John in Little Rock calling his shot, Clemson over Bama. You know, there's just something about that guy that makes me laugh, like literally every single time. Well, most of the time, half the time, anytime he sings about Gorilla Balls. We also look back on the 20-year anniversary of one of the most iconic days in Jungle history, the Green Bay Tour Stop. It had it all. Ranch dressing shots, a key to the city, and LA Times columnist Bill Plaschke going legend by taking on an entire bar by himself and getting off his famous sturgeon with a spear blast. He called in to relive that amazing afternoon with us earlier this year.
Thank you for that moment that has lived in infamy in my career. Just last week at the Rose Bowl, I'm in a press box going up to cover the USC Penn State game, and some huddled up Penn State fan gets under and says, "Sturgeon with a spear! Sturgeon with a spear!" This is 20 years later. This thing has haunted me, Jim, for 20 years.
And as you look back on that day, what do you remember about being in that bar?
That was when I first realized how big you were. I walked into this bar, and I was just, remember, I was covering the NFL back then. I was just a regular beat writer, and walking into the bar, and it was jammed, and people were drunk and screaming. And I thought, you know, you and I were buddies from SoCal. This is my little SoCal boy. Oh my God, it's like unbelievable. It's like he's huge. And I remembered that, and then I remember this is the time before Twitter too. So we were like, you were like Twitter before Twitter. This was when I realized the connection sports has with communities, and you before anyone else tapped into that connection.
Plaschke's genius. He is genius. What's incredible, though, 20 years later, and he's still getting hit with sturgeon with a spear blast. That's amazing. My man, get ready for 20 more years of it, because a clone never forgets. Never forgets. So chopping it up with Bill Plaschke on the show earlier this year was one of my favorite moments of the year. Oh, quick heads up, clones. There is no crank counter on this show. Never was. Never will be, even though many of you tried to start one after Pittsburgh Steeler Mike Mitchell dropped the first crank of 2017.
I do know that my hand did hit that guy's face mask. That did happen, so he was correct by rule to call that on me. I just was kind of surprised that it was missed because mine had happened, and you could see like my head getting cranked. Plus, I'm not a small guy. I'm a 210-pound guy. It would be really hard for me to move my head like that if someone wasn't cranking on my face mask. So,
Alvin, the hell are you doing? The hell are you doing? We don't ring a bell whenever somebody says crank. It's never been a thing on this program. There is no crank counter. Not in 2017, and there won't be in 2018 either. Not ever. Now, I have been at this a long time, and I've had guests call in from absolutely crazy places. But 2017 did see a first for me. Sixers head coach Brett Brown made his appearance in the jungle mid-jog. My man, are you running 5-on-5 right now? Are you doing some treadmill work? Are you got an elliptical going on? What's up?
You know, it's when we scheduled you, you've been good to me over the years. And we have our annual conversation, and this is part of my pregame routine. I've done it every game I've coached you. You get out and run, you know, like I'm down near the Wells Fargo building in the city. It's a little bit cold, but it's just something that sort of gets my head clear. And if we're on a losing streak, I run a little quicker. But happy to be here.
Mad respect for Brett Brown. Guarantee every other athlete or coach, hell, every other human being, would have said, "Hey, Rome, yeah, I'm not doing it. I have to stick to my pregame routine. Never deviate." And I would have respected that. Or maybe he says, "You know what? I like Rome. I like that show. I'm going to skip the workout and rap with the Pimp in the Box." But nobody says, "I don't need to change anything. I'll just do both." Nobody but Brett Brown. And he's a huge reason why the Sixers are killing it, and they're the most exciting young team in the association, because he implements and he trusts the process and never deviates. Also, early in the year, the Denver Broncos had a head coaching vacancy they had to fill, a spot that ultimately went to Vance Joseph. Now, I could be wrong, but given the fact that the Lobster won rings there, and John Elway was the guy who won them with the Lobster, I've got to think that the Lobster wanted his kid, to get that gig, not Joseph. Hey, John.
Hey, John.
Get you those two rings on the way out the door. Aren't I responsible for the job that you have right now? I'm not asking you for a hell of a lot, just a little respect and a gig for my kid. But you couldn't do it, could you, John? Could you, John? And you know why that is, John? It's because you're a rat, John. You heard me. You heard me. You're a rat, John. You're a rat and I'm a lobster. How does my kid not get that job? How do the Rams not give my kid that job? You're all a bunch of rats. You rats will be sorry. Take it from me. I'm a lobster. I'll tell you what, man. This guy is on fire. They had to slap some rubber bands on his claws. Someone's going to lose a nose. One of those rats. So that's where it all stands. Two young coaches, and the Rams pick one, but not the other. And the lobster's not happy about it. Hey, look, nobody likes a rat. Or a lobster. Or a rat. Or a lobster. Rat. Lobster. Rat. Lobster. Can't tell me those aren't two great songs. Damn, Alvy. You earned the hell out of that paycheck that day. Well done, son. Well done. Look, we're always looking for new blood in the jungle. The problem is the legendary callers make it look so easy. Guys like Brad and Corona, Mike and Indy, Vic and NoCal. There's a reason they're legends. They have mad game. And every single year, the noobs find out the hard way. It's so much more difficult than it looks. They come in, they call their shot, they're looking to grab a vine, only to impale themselves on the jungle wall. Isn't that so, Doc Dave in Chicago? Dave in Chicago.
I kind of got a big beef with Vic lately. I find it interesting that Victor is his name, considering he hasn't won anything in a while. Seems that ever since his smack off win, he's been a bigger loser. The Twitter comeback towards me is just completely lame, lacking in evidence. The closed-minded, thin-skinned take, especially lately when it comes to special for things going on tomorrow, make clones cringe more than revolt. And a Trapper cop and any, and I'm blaming I'm out.
Yeah, you probably don't want to come in here and try to roll up on Broadway Vic, Doc. Then again, it's not how many times you get knocked down. It's how many times you get back up. Doc? More on that later. Now, let me give you a guy that you can absolutely rely on. First ballot Hall of Famer. Tough as hell. A guy who had his collarbone shattered again this year and came back before he was 100% with a chest full of hardware to try to save Green Bay's season. Aaron freaking Rodgers. Personally, if I need an A-lister in the clutch on this show, you know who I go to. Aaron bleeping Rodgers. He was our first ever guest on the podcast. And if I need a big name guest in the midst of the NFL playoffs, you know who I'm looking for.
Where I'm at, where our offense is at, you know, we're just clicking at the right time and things are coming together. But it is fun to be in this mojo right now because we've been on a roll for the last 8 weeks.
I mean, you can take a few moments and maybe pop in some old Vlade Divac highlight tapes, maybe a Chuck Norris film or two.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. I mean, I might even put on Under Siege and watch Seagal beat some people up or something.
That's the best. Aaron, thank you very, very much. I appreciate you and that you gave us that time for that interview.
Thanks for the jungle karma, buddy.
You know, it's one thing for me to go looking for a guy like that every single year on every single show I do. Quite another for that same guy to always say yes. And he does. Appreciate the hell out of Aaron Rodgers. Now, there is no bigger villain in this jungle than Chael Sonnen. And before getting his black hat fitted for this year's Smack Off, he warmed up by dropping pure fire on Tito Ortiz before their Bellator fight.
Tito, go ahead. Tell him what I do so well.
Well, he talks well. His mouth has gotten him every fight, big fight that he's had.
Tito always says I'm using my mouth to get my opportunities. The only person I know that made money using their mouth is his ex-wife.
Well, just to correct you, I was never no marriage. You're a f***ing punk, dude. That's what you call class right here compared to no class.
That was a nasty line.
No class. That's why you see him with thongs and f***ing jeans and a t-shirt. No class.
They don't call you the bad guy for nothing.
A bad girl.
Tito may have turned Chael purple when he choked him out in the ring, but Chael claimed that 10-8 round at the presser. And nobody had a better year inside the ropes than Justin Thomas, who ripped this season's last major, churned out 5 wins to go along with it. No coincidence, considering he made a great jungle debut back in January. And in turn, launched one of the biggest debates of the year around here. peanut butter. Are you team crunchy or team creamy? You've addressed this.
Creamy.
How come?
I just don't understand how one can enjoy crunchy peanut butter. I don't know. I guess everyone's different, but I'm definitely on team creamy.
Yeah, just as you don't get crunch at all, like it makes no sense to you, I don't get creamy at all. I don't know why anybody would eat any peanut butter that didn't have a crunch.
Man, I wish we would have discussed this before the call. I don't know if I maybe would have committed to this. It's a big step for us.
Agree to disagree on that one, champ. You are entitled to your opinion. Just know that your opinion is wrong. Dead wrong. Team Crunchy for life. All right, so we got through January in the first segment. Not bad. Not bad. We're on track. When we come back, we slide into February. And, of course, that means Super Bowl week, which is the biggest week of the year in the jungle. That's coming up next. Don't go anywhere. It's the year in review. Hit me up on Twitter. Shoot me an email. Whatever you want to talk about is great. / pro sales.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Never fails. Van Halen always kicks ass. Welcome back. The year in review continues. And here come the tweets. Let me give you a heads up on this one. It's from Sarah T. in Providence. She tweets, "The last time I was this excited for something, he threw his G-string at me. # Rome Y-I-R. Thirsty much, Sarah?" Wow. Jed in Illinois is in. 2017 equals the year Romageddon hit. The podcast voicemail survived, and so did I'm Adam Hawk. Cheers to the crew. # Rome Y-I-R. Listen, tweet and follow along today and # it Rome Y-I-R. Year in review, Rome Y-I-R. Let us know your favorite memories or what you remember most about the year in sports or the year in the jungle. Take that to Twitter. All right, so Super Bowl week is the biggest week of the year for us. Every single year here in the jungle. Always has been an entire week of live programming on the infamous Radio Row. And generally a TV simulcast to go along with it on CBS Sports Network, the new home of the Jim Rome Radio Show, which is going to launch on January 2nd. So this past year, we spent the week in Houston. As many of you know, I broke in a couple of new members of the XR4TI over the past year. One of them being Adam Hawk, a.k.a. The Sparrow. He's my new EP, or he was at that time, executive producer. Now, to be fair, Sparrow had produced some pretty high-level shows in the past, but nothing quite like this. And you know, after embarrassing himself on his first roadie with Craig Kitchen and I by ordering water when KTK and I went premium adult beverage, you know he wanted to show up and kill his first Super Bowl with me. So, dude hits media day and attempts to go all Mike Wallace on Falcon star receiver Julio Jones.
Hey, Julio, do you think Tom Brady's recovery sleepwear actually works?
I don't know anything about sleepwear or what Tom Brady is doing when he sleeps.
Wow, Hawk, that sounds even worse right now than it did then. Probably should have quit that gig after that embarrassing showing in Sacktown. But it got so much worse when you showed up in Houston. In fact, I'm pretty sure that was the day that you were downgraded from Sparrow to Pigeon.
What?
You asked Julio Jones about performance sleepwear.
What?
Now, if it's Super Bowl week, then you know for sure I'm going to hook up with Antonio Brown. Because not only is he maybe the best receiver I have ever seen, literally, he is one of the most electric personalities that I've been around. And if I'm hitting up AB, you know there's only one question that needs to be asked.
First things first, how is business?
Boom, man.
So, of course, we talked business and we talked whips. Everybody wanted to know, what sled was he going to roll into training camp with? Have you decided what kind of rig you're going to roll into training camp with this year?
Still debating.
What are the options? What's it down to?
Maybe Rolls Royce or a Bugatti. What do you think?
Hey, man, you can pull it off. I think you got to go with the Rolls Royce.
Rolls Royce.
I think you got to. Got to
go Rolls.
If anybody can pull it off, it's Antonio Brown. Now, if we're on Radio Row, that can mean just one thing. One thing and two words. Romo.
A group of men came together to kick ass on Super Bowl Sunday, knowing in the back of my head that there were probably 5 to 8 guys that didn't want it as bad as me. And that's all it took.
If they did, would you have a fifth right now?
Absolute 100%. There's not a doubt in my mind. From what they eat, how they practice, are they in their playbook, are they ready mentally, or Are they in their hotel room drinking, whores, whatever else? That's taken away from focus. Two, one of the most important games there is in your life.
There's your next hashtag. Hashtag whores.
Whores.
Bill Romanowski, if you need him, and I will. Just as I'll need to be geeked up on his protein shakes in Minneapolis. The only shock here is that his wife, Julie, has not called yet to set that interview up because Jules is always the first one in prior to Super Bowl.
Kick ass. Whores.
Chargers head coach Anthony Lynn joined me on the road, too. He shared an absolutely amazing story of him cheating death after being hit by a drunk driver.
We went out last day at camp, celebrate, had a couple of pops and some pizza. Todd walks across the street, invited me to come across the street. I put the pizza in the truck. Rome, there's a car coming down my side of the road, coming pretty fast. I wait, let it go by. I walk behind it, but there's another car coming on the other side off the freeway, faster. They say he's going 55, 60 miles an hour. Well, he's three times a legal limit drunk. He sees me. I jump back, but he swerves on my side of the road, and he hits me. Okay, if he just stay on his side, we're good. But he hits me, and they tell me that I fly 45, 50 feet in the air, land on top of another vehicle, total that Volkswagen, and somehow I survive. You know, it's just by the grace of God. So every day I get up, I know that I'm here for a reason. I have a purpose in life. It really gives me a passion and an energy to do my job the way I do it.
If you want to know why Anthony Lynn did not blink when the Chargers started the year 0-4, that's why. Kirk Cousins' contract was one of the big storylines heading into the NFL offseason, just like Kirk Cousins' contract was a huge story heading into last offseason. So I sat down with him thinking that even this guy, one of the truly good dudes in the game, had to be frustrated with having to prove himself over and over again. But I was wrong.
Can't walk 5 feet in any direction around here without somebody asking you about your contract, so I won't be that guy. Yes, I will.
You know, all I can do is go out, play football well, and trust that, hey, there's 32 teams, and someone's got to want you if you do your job. But I'd love for it to be Washington.
Look, he'll get his. Either Washington will give it to him or somebody else will, but he will get his. By the way, it's the only athlete, Kirk Cousins, the only athlete to send me a handwritten thank you note after appearing on the show. The last guy to do that was, nobody's ever done that, but he did. I got a handwritten card. I love that. A handwritten card from this guy in the mail the very next week. Now, I love that. If I'm on the row, you know I'm going to carve out some time to sit down with one of my favorite athletes ever. The author of the very first sports book I ever read. A man's man. Pound for pound, maybe the toughest dude that I've ever come across. Green Bay Packer legend, Jerry Kramer.
I broke a couple ribs in the San Francisco game, and I came out of the game, missed one play. Went back and finished the game. Next week, go to my doc. He said, you have a pulled muscle. I said, doc, I know a pulled muscle. I don't have a pulled muscle. I have busted ribs. Oh, don't worry about it. It won't hurt you. So I'm practicing all week, and I play against Merlin that week. And I play every play, right? And Merlin comes up to me after the game. We're pretty good pals. And he goes, Jerry, what's wrong? I said, I got some busted ribs. He said, I knew something was bothering you. Go back to Green Bay. Go to my doc. Got two busted ribs, Jerry.
No kidding.
No kidding. All right. So I go to Coach Lombardi, and I'm looking for an attaboy or good job or way to go or something.
Way to grind it out.
Yeah. And so I get about a foot from him, and I said, Coach, you know those sore ribs I had? I had two busted ribs. He says, no kidding. They don't hurt anymore, do they?
Coach Lombardi had a tremendous pain threshold for other people, I guess. It's a freaking crime that Jerry Kramer is not enshrined in Canton. Give this man his bleeping yellow blazer already. Do it before it's too late. Now, it's bad enough that I constantly had to remind you clones that there is no crank counter. How many times did I have to remind you and even Alvy of that? But then my guy, Boomer Esiason, my guy, comes in and he lobs a Molotov cocktail right into the proceedings. Boomer, what's
Jim,
going on,
great
man?
Great to see you, man. It's great to be here with you,
Boomer.
In person.
How are you?
And everything else. And I'm ready to, as they say in Houston, crank it up, Jim. Where is Toby in Houston? I don't know where is he. I don't know where he is. I was so looking forward to meeting him. I thought he was going to be a special guest here.
Hey, look, despite how badly you clones and Boomer want it, still no crank counter. All right, the year in review rolls on. We'll take a short time out. When we come back, more of a recap of Radio Row and some of the people, some of the celebrities and stars that I ran into. And then we talk about the Super Bowl itself. All of that still ahead. Hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome. Make sure you hashtag it properly. Rome, Y-I-R. Email me. Take a shot on the phones if you want. And we'll come right back. Time now for a sports update. Here it is. Andrew Bogish. He's got this one.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show, the year in review on CBS Sports Radio.
It is our year in review. Merry Christmas, clones. A little bit early, but it's my last day of the year, so I want to make sure I get that out there. Merry Christmas to one and all. Clones, it is an ATP day, still yet, so you want to go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, submit any question you want to me, and I will read one or more later on. In the meantime, remember, sign up and become an O-Rewards member today. Earn $5 back for every $150 you spend. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. This email reads, Romy, my entire place of employment has the year in review cranked up to 11 today. Blessed be the jungle. You don't need to do that, Alvin. There is no crank counter. Cranked up to 11 today. Blessed be the jungle and best of luck in the year to come. Tristan in Maine. Tristan, I don't know where you work, but it sounds like a great place to work. Sounds like you got the best job ever. So he's listening to the show at work, and it's all cranked up. Don't do it, Alvy. All cranked up. All right, so talking more about Radio Row. To be honest, Radio Row at Super Bowl is the biggest pimp job ever. Everybody has something to pimp, and generally they're not there unless they do. But the truth is, you can get access to guys who typically are not available. As an example, I had been tracking Josh Norman forever. I always wanted to have him on this show, and the fact that it never happened, I figured he's just not down. Not hip to my act, not hip to this show. And then I see this guy, and he could not have been happier to do it, and then lived up to all the advance hype in the interview.
Great things coming from your way, and a pleasure. Blessed to be here, talk to you face to face.
Where you been, man? Where you been? How come I can't get to you?
Man, they keep me on lockdown. They keep me hiding out, man. It's like, gosh, you got to break through just to get a crack of a conversation. I'm like, come on, Tony, it's not that serious. Just seeing you on TV, and then I had that conversation. I was like, man, Rome is my guy. He's my guy. We got to make it happen.
I can't tell you
so
how many times.
So glad we made it work. Dude, and guess
the
what?
World famous Jim Rome.
Believe that, man.
Rome is burning.
That's it. Josh Norman. It's amazing that a lockdown corner like Josh Norman would be kept on lockdown by his own team. Better late than never. Also one of my favorite moments from the past year. Now, for the first time in program history, we conducted a show the morning of the Super Bowl. An actor, comedian, producer, Keegan-Michael Key came in. He dominated. He ripped the day, especially when he spoke of having to perform for 44.
What's it like having the president of the United States as your straight man in a comedy duo?
It was pretty much the greatest moment of my life. But even better than the performance itself was rehearsing with him 10 minutes before. And so I was in the West Wing, and he comes in the West Wing, and he just runs right there. He's like, there he is. There's Key. There's my man. It just... Like, he's very huggy, like, gets right in there, and the guy's hugging you, and you're like, it's like, he's hugging me! He's hugging me! Don't kill me! No red dots on the forehead, please. He is hugging me!
Now, if you like that hit on this show back in February, you have to check him out as the featured guest on episode 18 of the Jim Rome podcast, Keegan-Michael Key. Then again, if Key did not close that show that day, then E! News host and huge Patriots honk Maria Menounos did.
I don't think that at any point we should ever be cocky enough to think that we've got this in the bag. And when people say we're going to blow them out, I'm like, who? What? Have you watched the Falcons? They're a great team. Matt Ryan has this thing in his eyes that scares the shit out of me. He's got this...
We are not on serious. You cannot say words like that.
No! Sorry!
We covered you. Please
did
do
you
not do
me?
That again. We did.
Oops,
we
sorry. Did. All right, so he scares me.
I'm glad that you're that comfortable, though.
Sorry. Oops.
You're the best.
Love you guys.
I love her, too. She is the best. Maria was diagnosed later in the year with a brain tumor, which ultimately was removed. She is a warrior, a shining light. She said recently that brain tumor is the best thing that ever happened to her. Maria Menounos is an amazing person and one of my favorite interviews ever. Then the Super Bowl, February, marked one of the most insane Super Bowls ever. Now, you know that story. Atlanta coming from ahead 28-3 to choke. Good luck ever getting over that. Nor forgetting how James White was the guy who ripped your hearts out with his three touchdowns. White said that, well, White knew that nobody outside that locker room saw that comeback happening, but he told us after the fact it was no surprise to anybody inside of the locker room.
No, I had no doubt in my mind. I mean, even when we were down 25 points, everybody was on the sidelines still fired up. Everybody still had the belief. We had the team to do it. Guys are going to continue to fight whether we're up 40 or down 40. So, I mean, if anybody could do it, it was us. And we just found a way to get a win.
And they did. And then afterwards, they were feeling it. Every Patriot was feeling it, especially at the parade, from Gronk to Brady to even the hood. But nobody was feeling it more than the Patriots fans, who still had a sharp axe to grind. Except that parade did birth one of the most memorable catchphrases of 2017, arguably the motto of 2017 here in the jungle. The hood went off.
And there were no days off. Yeah! No days off. 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 No days off.
What an awesome chant.
No days off.
What an awesome chant. Especially since it preceded the hood taking just about every single day off right after that. Meantime, the Rams filled their coaching vacancy with a 31-year-old, Sean McVay. Hiring a 31-year-old may have seemed shocking at the time, but now you know that almost every other team in the league wished they had locked him up when he was still in his 20s.
I sensed a guy that was challenged, you know, to respond in year two and be better moving forward. Liked what I saw from him. And then really what I was doing, Jim, is just kind of showing him offensively how we would operate. You know, you feel very confident that he can be a very good player moving forward, and you see the skills and the characteristics. But I really like the intangibles, that mental makeup that you look for just from talking to him, and then obviously what I've heard from the people that have been in the building this past year with him.
Ram it. Sean McVay talking about Jared Goff, of course. And a quick shout-out to my gal, Allie McKay over at KROQ, who I know loved that interview. Clones, why don't you allow me to introduce to you the esteemed garbage man, Brad. Brad in Minnesota, you're next up. It's good to have you on the show, Brad. How are you?
Romy, thanks for the branch, buddy. But actually, this is garbage man, Brad, because I take out the...
No. You don't like that car.
I don't like that car.
You know, there aren't very many rules in the jungle. Only a few. But none more important than this. If you self-gloss, you will get run. If you self-gloss, you will get run. And safe to assume that's not the only guy that happened to in 2017. This also happens to be a big left turn house. There's no one bigger in NASCAR than the driver of the 88, Dale freaking Jr. He hopped into the jungle ahead of the sports Super Bowl, the Daytona 500.
I see now why we do a lot of things that we do, why the sport makes a lot of the decisions that it makes, why the networks are making the decisions that they make, where I would be a driver and just think about what's best for me or what's best for the drivers and complain about things that we were doing. I never understood NASCAR's side of it or the network's TV side of it, what they're trying to achieve. So it's helped me really open up and calm down and not be so cynical about things and just try to control what I can control and try to enjoy the rest of it. And I don't have many years left, so I want to have fun doing it for as long as, you know, as long as I'm going to go do it. I definitely became a more happier, easier person to be around. Someone told me, racing's what you do. It's not who you are. And I got to try to control that a little bit better.
That's good. That's strong. That's deep. And probably I should have been listening a little bit more carefully when he said, I don't know how long I'm going to be doing this, because that would turn out to be his last Daytona. NASCAR has been chasing its glory days over the past few years, trying to get back to where they were, and losing one of their most popular drivers ever is not going to help. Now, again, you know me. I try to be as objective as possible, but Dale Earnhardt is one of my favorite athletes ever. Seeing him go is tough. And then when my guy, Jimmy Johnson, calls it a day, I might just go all Dirk Nowitzki with it and say, shut it down, let's go home.
Let's go home!
Always great to get a boxer on the program. And even more so a guy like Deontay Wilder, even better when he goes all in to describe what the perfect knockout punch feels like.
Let me tell you, when you throw in a perfect punch and it lands, it's like magic. You don't know what happened. I said it was like slicing cheese, but you can feel cheese when you slice it. But it was even thinner than that. I guess it was like, let's say, if I had to say something, I'd say it's like tearing paper.
That's strong. But my favorite part about his hit was the way he capped the interview.
My man, thank you so much. Ball squad!
That's how you close a show. Quote, my man, thank you so much. Bomb squad!
Bomb squad!
You know, it seems to me the most fascinating hire of the entire year was made by the San Francisco 49ers, who shocked the world at the time when they hired John Lynch to be their GM. He jumped on with us shortly after getting that gig and told us exactly how it went down.
I wasn't seeking it out. It really happened very organically. I did call the Seahawks game. It wasn't until the next week after they beat Green Bay that I called Kyle to say, hey, you are doing one heck of a job. You know, I think the Niners had started to zero in on him, and we were just talking. He was picking my brain because he knows as a broadcaster, as an analyst, you go around the league. So he's asking me about assistant coaches, about philosophies, and we were talking. And at some point, he said, man, you ever think about this? And I said, well, actually, I have. And that's how it started. About 45 minutes later, he called and he said, would you consider it? And I said, you know, consider what? And that's where it all started. And next thing you know, hey, I want you to take this call from Jed York. And that was on a Tuesday. By Sunday, I was the general manager of the 49ers. So it did happen fast. And I'm happy it did.
John Lynch, gutty hired by Jed York. And a brilliant job by Lynch to pull Jimmy G out of New England. Now they've got their quarterback for the next 10 years, and nobody is laughing at the Niners anymore. Steve Kerr has always been a guy known to speak his mind about things other than basketball. So when he came on the program, I asked him specifically about stick to sports guy. But what do you make of that whole stick to sports argument in general? I mean, if everybody followed that, then wouldn't everybody only talk about their own jobs?
Exactly. And it is kind of ironic because I'm obviously in a job where everybody is going to judge me on a daily basis. And so it's kind of funny. You know, I get these people saying, you know, hey, stick to sports. And by the way, why'd you take Curry out, you know, at the 6-minute mark? Like,
right.
hey, buddy, you know, stick to advertising or stick to whatever it is your job. I mean,
that is so good. Stick to advertising, pal, or whatever your job is. Look, Steve Kerr can and should talk about whatever the hell he wants. And everybody else can stay in their lane. Remember earlier this year when La La Land won Best Picture for all of 3 minutes?
And the Academy Award for Best Picture.
You're impossible. Come on. La La Land.
I love you so much. To my family, maman, papa, Jeff, hommage, vous adore. Matt Pluff, you kicked this off. And Damien Chazelle, we're standing on your shoulders. We lost, by the way, but, you know.
Guys, I'm sorry.
No, there's a mistake. Moonlight, you guys won Best Picture.
Moonlight won. Come on, this is not a joke.
This is not a joke. I'm afraid they read the wrong thing.
This is not a joke. Moonlight has won Best Picture. Moonlight, Best Picture.
Might not be a joke, but it was funny as hell. We went from Oscars to Awkward. I'd say that it could never get any worse for Hollywood, but, well, you know how their year played out. When we come back, I want to button up that take. I had Kevin Frazier on to tell us exactly what happened a day later. Also, we wrap up the month of March, or I should say February, with an update on Stinky 32. And then on to March. You're in the jungle. I'm Jim Rome. This is the Year in Review. Do not go anywhere.